we'll call to order the January meeting of 2014 of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. Once I find my agenda. Is that your agenda? Okay, sorry.
I got one.
Okay. First item is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Second?
I guess I'm second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approval of the minutes for November 6th.
Mr. Trooper.
This here. Motion to approve the agenda, is there a second, or excuse me, minutes. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item. Old business. K Avenue Mixed Use District, follow up on the presentation recommendation of council. Okay, I did go there and presented this, and it was sent back to planning and zoning, basically with two recommendations. There we go. We sent back to the P&Z two recommendations from the council. One was to add an element or a statement in there that there had to be a residential component to the housing. I think there was a concern. There's a little bit of confusion given that it was actually an overlay district on a residential. I think it was everybody's feeling that it required a residential component in it. But they wanted that specific statement within the mixed-use ordinance. The other was...
wait a minute, what was that again?
That they wanted a statement in the mixed-use ordinance that there had to be a residential component to it. Even though we felt that it was an overlay district and required residential, because it is still a residential district, but they specifically wanted that statement in there. That was the only recommendation they made to the wording of the ordinance. The other recommendation was that we do some research as to the effect that this would have on property prices. I have done that, as well as Mr. Is it Ziegler?
Ziegler.
Mr. Ziegler and I have done some research on that. It was suggested, and I forget who suggested this, that we simply go down to Southport or something like that and do a comparison of property prices. You can't do that type of research. This sort of comparison of prices and impact on property value is a very complicated economic type of study. So it's not something that you could do like that. So what I did is I did some research as to the published articles that have been done and research and empirical studies that have been done on the effect of mixed use on property or housing values. I can only find one, actually. It was, and I have it right here. It was published in 2004 in the Regional Science and Urban Economics Journal. It's called Measuring the Effects of Mixed Land Uses on Housing Values. So it deals with exactly with the issues that were suggested by the council. So it's a very academic type of article, a lot of mathematics and numbers and all that sort of thing in it. But the bottom line here is that mixed use actually increases property values, the surrounding. What they looked at was the surrounding property values on housing. It actually does increase the housing values as long as the mixed use is what is called neighborhood commercial. And what they did is they looked at neighborhood commercial and a commercial or something like that, which would be more than neighborhood commercial, such as factories or Walmarts or very large sort of things. And those would have a negative value or a negative impact, but neighborhood mixed use has a positive impact upon surrounding housing values. And of course, all that we're recommending here would be neighborhood type of uses. So based upon that study, and this is a study for various neighborhoods in Washington County, Oregon. But again, it's a very, very good study, and it is, it's passed the peer review process for an academic journal. So that was one. Mr. Ziegler also found a study that was done. It hasn't been published. It's in a report form, but it seems to be a very good study. It's done by George Mason University, the Center for Regional Analysis. And this is called Examining the Impact of Mixed-Use / Mixed-Income Housing Developments in the Richmond Area. A little bit of a misnomer. I actually read this 37-page report here, and at first I got all excited because it says mixed-use. But their definition of mixed-use is mixed-income, which is kind of interesting. So they looked at about 7 or 8 different mixed-income, higher-density, mixed-income type of housing and its impact on property values. And surprisingly, I mean, it also had either a no impact or a positive impact. One of the examples that they used did have a mixed commercial housing type of use, and again, that had a positive impact. So the statement here on page 1 in the executive summary is, overall, the analysis of mixed income, mixed use housing shows that the developments have positive impacts on the surrounding neighborhoods with relatively strong home price appreciation and lower crime levels. They actually looked at the impact of crime levels too. So anyway, that not quite exactly what we were talking about here, but it does lend support. The other, it's not really a report or a study, it's an analysis done by a Joseph Banakazi called The Smart Math of Mixed-Use Development. And this is basically, it was published in a professional journal, I think Urban Development. And this is looking in Asheville, but it's doing kind of a comparison saying that if you go to mixed use, it actually has a positive impact on tax revenues. Because in a mixed-use environment, if somebody puts a mixed-use environment right there, you might have an increase in depreciation or the assessment on that particular property. So, you know, that's the analysis right there, too. So, all three studies, and those are the only studies that we could find that addresses the council's concerns, and that's kind of summarizing it. So what I would suggest, if we do send it back with the suggestion that we add that sentence or that statement about residential, I'd be very glad to, you know, go to the next council meeting and summarize what I just summarized right here. And I think that was all. Who else was there? You?
I was there.
You were there. Okay. Wait, was there anything else that they mentioned?
No, just the lighting.
Yeah, that's the lighting issue. Yeah.
I think you addressed David's point. I think he was after something simple. I believe David said that, could you see if the property values appreciated in Wrightsville Beach, where they've done this, at the same level in that multi-block area as they appreciated on the rest of the island? I think that's the way he asked the question.
The reason I didn't do that is, as an economist, you can't do that. There's too many other factors that get into the idea of property prices.
I would agree with you on that point, because it could depend on, are you downtown, are the buildings around it nice or aren't they nice? You know, are you in the shady part of town? I would agree with you on that point. I guess I think your three studies have value the way you describe them. It says it's a positive impact on value and a positive impact on tax generation.
Right.
Yeah,
those are the studies, and we've done a pretty, I did a fairly complete study, University Library, about what sort of things have been published. Because it is very difficult to determine the impact of different things on property values, these studies are very, very complex. You know, versus simply looking at a comparison. And that's why there's not a lot of studies done, but these are the ones that we could find.
And the only other, I guess there's probably another point of value that says that most of the brand new successful community options that are put up, like Mayfair, are actually designed as mixed-use business districts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think people would do that if they thought they would have an opportunity to lose.
In fact, I believe Mr. Ziegler said he lives by Mayfair, and he pointed, again, there hasn't been a study, but his impression is when Mayfair went in, and Mayfair is a mixed-use community, that when Mayfair went in, property prices in the surrounding area went up.
Yeah.
That's his own personal opinion.
I would agree with that.
Didn't we, about a year ago, get an email or a letter from somebody with the county tax office making some statement about tax values? I'm totally wrong.
Yes.
I may remember something from the county,
There was the issue that was, I was thinking about that today too. There was an issue that was raised that if we do, and that was when we were thinking about rezoning, not doing it as an overlay, I believe, but if we were to rezone that as a mixed use sort of thing, that what impact would that have upon the county tax values? Would they come in and reassess it at a higher level or something like that? I can't remember what the email said from the county tax department. Does anybody remember what they said? But they did respond to that question. I do remember.
But it seemed like the context was people living around there would all of a sudden have their tax bills doubled. So an increase in value would be a bad thing.
I think the response would be based on per property.
That's right. That's exactly.
If there was a business, it would be taxed as a business. If there was a house next door to it, it would be taxed as a residence.
That's correct.
So it wouldn't change anybody's.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. But what about if you have the house on the top and the business on the bottom?
I don't think they addressed that. I think that was the question I went to them. Whether it would affect
adjoining properties.
Adjoining properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the opinion, if I remember right, the opinion was that it wouldn't affect the adjoining properties.
Right.
That because somebody put something here, they wouldn't increase the assessment of an adjoining property. I'm pretty sure that's what the result of that question was.
We have two issues, tax value and market value.
Right.
Two totally separate things.
You're absolutely right.
All right, so with that, if we want to insert that statement about residential in that, we could send it back to the council for the next meeting. Attorney, if we just insert that one statement, residential, would that require a second public hearing? Because it already requires, because it's a residential zoning already, it's not substantially changing what already went through the public hearing. It's simply putting one more statement in there. Would that require a second?
I would probably need to double check before we went forward, without any further advertising. But I would think there'd be a chain going back to that original advertising, in terms of, it was advertised initially, and I don't think this would be a major change.
Yeah, when I saw that comment, I pulled up a number of different towns' ordinances, and most of them keep it real short and sweet and just say, at least one floor shall be residential, or at least one upper floor shall be residential, or excluding the ground level, something like that. Just
do you want to suggest language and we can insert there?
Let's see.
Yeah, what exactly is the statement going to read? So I have something to put.
Yeah, we need to put it in.
How do you want it to?
That seemed to be the intent, that they wanted a residential component in each structure or use, basically.
That was not only the intent, that was my understanding of what's required already, even with this overlay. And, when I presented it, I said, because of course I was asked that, and I presented it saying that since this is an overlay, it's not a separate zone, it's an overlay on a residential, that residential is still required. You still have the residential requirement for that particular zoning. This simply overlays some uses. In fact, it's an overlay use, but it doesn't eliminate the residential requirement because it is a residential zoning. Understandably, they want a statement that it more clearly specifies that rather than implying that. And that's certainly fine.
I agree with you on that point too. I think that, your statement may be just a residential element or something. Because didn't somebody ask, suppose it's, you have the store in the front and you live in the back. So don't tell me I have to live on the
floor.
See, right. So the point was, don't be that precise, but be precise enough to say that there's a residential requirement or something.
John, given that there's a permitting issue, how would you phrase that language?
I was just looking at subsection A. Purpose and intent of the overlay district. Mm-hmm. You can go to number two there, for instance, and just say to allow commercial activity in conjunction with residential along K Avenue.
Would you want to say some residential is required? I think that the council was looking for something very specific that would require residential in there.
Would you have to specify that within the same dwelling? Because the way you just read it, John, I think I could.
Well, I mean, the purpose of this is defined as the purpose and intent of the overlay district to allow commercial activity along K Avenue.
So K
Okay, could you simply say, in order to have a use allowable under this mixed-use ordinance, a residential component must still be present, or something like that? You think that would satisfy that?
Yeah, that might be where we need the wordsmithing of the attorney. But you're essentially, I think you hit it there. There needs to be a residential component within the same dwelling. We don't want to say where.
We want to make sure it satisfies the code requirements, so no one's just putting a bin in the back of their
it's all going to have to go through special use. You're going to have to review it. And council's going to ultimately have to okay it.
Did we require, have a percentage requirement when they were doing the PMUs? When we did the mixed use for that?
I don't remember anything about percentage.
I mean, is that language okay that I just said?
I mean, we can revert to the building code as what a living area is.
That's true. Certain minimum space and ceiling height, bathroom,
water closet, kitchen.
Yeah.
It can all be a studio apartment. I mean,
yeah.
They maintain that way.
So you could even add in compliance with the.
Yeah, that's supposed to be in compliance with building code.
A residential component compliant with the building codes is required of every. Structure.
Yeah, that sounds good. Want to repeat that? Since that's the attorney wordsmithing there. So.
Here, repeat that again.
Yes. Let's see.
Where do you want this before you say it?
Right after your.
I guess we can figure out where to put it in.
I think that was right after your use right there, or attempt.
In all candor, a lot of times. You don't. If it's going to be an absolute requirement, you don't really want it necessarily in the purpose in it.
Okay.
Because that's more of a general, let's see.
Let's make it number one, though.
We could just add it in to, as another item along with, signs, landscaping. And then maybe make it first right up front. Have a title, residential component.
Okay.
Number one, residential component.
The following are uses that are allowed along with a residential component that complies with the minimum building code requirements regarding residential uses.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think E might be the best spot because it's saying the following requirements apply, and then you can just say, okay, the number one requirement is there must be a residential component of each use.
In
sign compliance. Number two.
Okay. Let's go and do that. So now we're going to put it under E right here. Number one, and everything else is bumped down. Signs would become number two, landscaping number three. So number one would be residential component.
Call it a residential component.
And then the language, go ahead and say the language again.
It would be, let's see, it changes every time. That is it fair to call a use, each use, because it's kind of like a special use permit, so I'm thinking if you call it, each use must contain a residential component, which must comply with the building.
Each use must contain a residential component.
In compliance with the
building and other applicable codes and regulations, maybe. Because it's not just the building code, it might be.
I don't know, minimum definition of a residence.
Yeah. Comply with that. That would kind of cover everything we said. A must. Have a residential component comply with the building codes and other applicable regulations, and then that would apply. That would trigger
Could you go ahead and read that back?
Okay. Each use must contain residential component in compliance with the building and other applicable code and regulations.
Okay, so that would be number one under
residential component.
For residential component.
John, should it say North Carolina residential code or is building code broad enough, broader?
Put NC.
I think it's covered anyway, given it's a residential zone.
That's all
so
I
this is simply the. Okay. I don't think it's going to be an issue because it's covered under a residential zone. So, all right.
Josie, could you read that one more time, please?
Okay. It's going to be number one. It's going to be residential component. Each use must contain a residential component in compliance with the NC, North Carolina building, and other applicable code and regulations.
Okay, I have a question for you on each use. Is use a particular business entity? What if you have a client type arrangement where there's three or four consigners? Is that four uses or is that one use?
I mean, what I was envisioning is, because these are going to come through as special use applications for a specific special use permit.
Yeah.
And so each application would have to have. And I would think as, you know, something like where you have three bays or whatever, that would probably be one application for a special use permit to do a three bay type.
Okay. I was just trying to, you know, think of oddities within the language.
Out.
Yeah.
You could say each special use application, you know, that would be clearer.
Under the definition section at the very beginning, we use the term any development. Within these overlay districts, any development that occurs must be in compliance.
With the underlying, that's why I don't think this is a big issue personally, and that's why I tried to explain because it says right here in the definition, you're absolutely right, that says that within these overlay districts, any development that occurs must be in compliance not only with the regulations applicable to the underlying district, which is a residential zoning, but also with the additional requirements of the overlay district. So I think we're just putting something that adds a little more teeth to it because we're already covered under that statement and the fact that it's a residential zoning. But the council wanted something very specific, and I'm not too concerned about the wording because we're already protected under this. Is that okay?
Look, I'm just asking a question. You guys are the experts, not me.
Is everybody good with this? All right. Is there a motion to amend the mixed-use ordinance?
So
a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next motion is, do we want to send it back to the council with this? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just make a formal motion. Yeah, okay. Move. Send back to council. I'll go ahead and second that. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I guess they will then determine whether that requires a separate hearing now. All right, next item. New trend, bright light LED lights around the windows. Okay, I presented this. This was also sent back. Two concerns by the council. One that came up from the audience, folks that were there, because they were concerned that particularly emergency lights would not be allowed under this. So several people have emergency lights that are on sensors or that sort of thing. So they want to make sure that this would, that we should put language in here that would exclude emergency lights. There was also some concern about decorative lights. I think that an example of that would be some of the lights that would be on the pier that are there. It's been there a long time, so they want to make sure that decorative lights are also not, you know, eliminated there. And then the council also said, well, you know, how many of the businesses would be affected by this? And my feeling right now, and they actually wanted us to go around and look at every single business in town and see who would be affected by this. My general feeling is that can certainly be done, but I don't think this is the right time to do it because there's still a lot of holiday lights up. And I think that what we ought to do is wait a month, and we should table this item for 1 month, and then, you know, then you know, I can drive around and see what sort of lights are still up that might be affected by this. But there's still some holiday lights up, so it'd be hard to tell what's going to be coming down and what's not going to be coming down. So those are the two major recommendations on that. Is decorative lights have something, so decorative lights wouldn't be excluded, and that emergency lights wouldn't be excluded. And again, as I tried to point out to the council, is that this isn't trying to eliminate these sort of things. It's trying to eliminate what we're seeing as a trend right now, where people are putting lights all around their buildings and, you know, basically making their whole business into a billboard. So, but they were concerned about the, you know, the intent and have more specific wording that would allow these decorative lights and emergency lights. So, my recommendation is to table this for 1 month. Any further discussions?
What's is this going to appear to for a public hearing again since we
for the on the sign on the lights?
Well, on the well, on both, really.
Well, we're not sure how much change we're going to have on this light part yet, are we?
We still have that light language in the mixed use ordinance. Okay, remember, we have that light component in the mixed-use ordinance. Since we don't have anything covered under the mixed-use ordinance right now, there's nobody having these type of lights, decorative lights or whatever, on it, I would still recommend that language be you know, in there, because that's a very restrictive language. So if anybody does go in there and does something, they would have to be covered under that language. The separate lighting ordinance we're talking about would be
the reason I'm asking the question is if it needs to be re-advertised, let's wait to send them both back at the same time, that way they can re-advertise.
I think it might be good to separate them personally. I mean, that's...
Well, that's just the extra cost and extra public hearing, things like that, as well as bringing that up. But that's ultimately up to council. I know you've got something else coming back, then they may just wait anyway.
No, I mean, certainly up to the council. I mean, to me, obviously, the mixed use is the big one. So, but
I really didn't. I mean, some people asked questions about mixed use, but they weren't all upset by it. They thought it wouldn't happen, right? I mean, you heard some people got up and said, I don't care about this because nothing's going to happen
right.
Anyway, right? So, I don't know if there's, it's really a clarification on the intent of the document to make sure there was a residential requirement. I don't know that we would need to do that. I guess I'd have to defer to you. If you think that through. And then the other thing about lighting, I thought the lighting thing was just like allow emergency lighting and allow temporary decorative lighting.
Right.
And you said, you know, I want to have a graduation party in my backyard, I want to hang some light bulbs.
Right. And the other thing too, I think, John, what you brought up is that this would be applying to residential areas. So the third thing is that we want to make sure we exclude that if people want to have a holiday lights or something like that in residential areas. So it was holiday lights in residential areas, emergency lighting and decorative lighting. Yeah. We could deal with that, but then I forget, somebody said they wanted us to go around and look at all the businesses.
David asked.
Yeah, and so.
We all know who this is going to affect. It's just the gas station, possibly the trading place. It's going to be about it.
Yeah. But to satisfy that requirement, I think we have to wait a month to get all the holiday lights down.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. I defer to your wisdom.
Yeah. So, do you want to, there's a recommendation to maybe table the mixed use so they're brought together for discussion?
Send it on and see what they do. I mean, now, if Ernie says wait for a public hearing, now I'm just going to. You can get up and say, well, we've got something else coming to you. You want to just wait until next month.
Okay. All right. So we don't do anything because we've already pushed that one forward. So. Okay. Is there a motion to table the agenda item 4B for 1 month?
I'll make that motion to
table.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
All right.
Okay. C is more of an informational. I have been in contact with Mark Ziegler. He did come to the council meeting. It's kind of a mystery on how he got involved. Did we ever figure that out, how he got involved?
Did he send a bill?
I don't think so.
Nobody, we had a lot of email things going about, well, who got him involved, and nobody would mess up to it. But he did get involved. Okay, so he's a Division of Community Assistance, Office of Community Planning. So all of a sudden, we got an email saying that he's working on the mixed-use thing after we had already approved it and sent it forward. So he did put together, he did show up for the council meeting, he did talk a little bit about it. His major concern was parking issues, which we've already talked about. He did put together this document right here with some ideas and some observations and so forth. I've been in conversations since the meeting regarding trying to find this research that's been done. He's been very cooperative on that, very useful. Seems like a good community resource, but it's still a mystery as to how he got involved.
I put no reason the height limit, too.
Yeah.
What was that little paragraph about raising
the height? Oh, I didn't see that.
Raising the height limit. Yeah. Raising the height
limit. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that here.
Yeah. Good thing nobody else saw it.
I get up.
It's not about me alone. I'm going to be drawing the
door. But looking very quickly through here, and that's all I did, I think we actually addressed the vast, vast majority of his statements in here.
Right, page 7, building heights.
Oh, yeah. Well, his major concern when he actually stood up and talked to the council was parking issues.
Overall, I believe he said he was generally said it was a pretty good document.
Yeah. I mean, he said it was fine. So anyway, again, it's more of an informational, and I continue my discussions with Mark regarding trying to find additional studies about the impact of mixed use on property values. All right, agenda item 5, which is new business. This has been with us for a couple months now, but it was again brought up by one of the council members. And that's the native plants and issue of additional freeboard requirements for flood insurance. So we really kind of two issues right there, the freeboard requirement and native plants. But let's deal with native plants first. What's the issue on native plants?
Ms. Waringen has been pushing that a little bit. She would just like to see the town push requirements to residents, business owners alike, to only use native plantings when they're redoing their landscaping. She actually, did y'all go ahead and vote on that or not?
Well, yes, the debate was then, what is a native plant?
Yeah.
I remember that debate because evidently there are not a lot of native plants here.
So I think the resolution was that
push it.
They should be encouraged, not required.
Yes.
Everyone should be encouraged to use native plants.
Did you actually pass any resolution to that?
That was the month before I got to sit up there.
I thought it was last meeting.
I thought it came up too, but I don't see it in the actions.
Didn't we talk about that in the mixed use as a recommendation in landscaping?
Yeah, we said we would recommend it.
That would recommend it.
She wanted to support it. She wanted to encourage it.
Very
quick,
so
everywhere. Yeah, not a big deal, whatever. I think a lot of people are trying to do that anyway, other than the big tall.
Yeah, it says here under the minutes that council will encourage Curie Beach department heads and staff to use native and non-intrusive plants in all public areas. Town staff should encourage residential property owners to use native and non-intrusive plants on their property. I left before you guys talked to that. I think that was at the end of the meeting. But it doesn't seem to me that we're being asked to write an ordinance in that effect. It's just an encouragement that the council makes to park heads to encourage that. So I don't think there's anything we have to do with the native plant issue.
What is the plant that everybody doesn't like?
Palm trees.
Yeah, there was a discussion about palm trees. And I guess there was a bit of debate between the two experts, too, as to whether one palm tree was native or not.
Well, I'll say I've told you my theory before that. The cabbage palm is native to Ballhead Island. That's as far north as it goes. But since Fran, one of the storms that the inlets filled in, we are not connected to Ballhead Island. So that technically we are now
Ballhead Island.
Well, you know, it is native to this island. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Then there was a debate about native versus flourish.
right? You could have good plants that flourish here, but they're not necessarily native.
Right.
If you go back, you know, 1,000 years, they wouldn't be native plants.
Well, the thing I got a little excited was that there's the two experts, the one from the, not the museum, but the aquarium, I think it is, and then there's one from the arboretum that disagree about whether the palm tree was a native or not.
Yeah, it's like the arboretum.
And Emily got all upset. Yeah,
really, the palm guy said no, and the aquarium guy said yeah.
Yeah. All right. The other issue, a little more serious possibly, is the free board requirement. That was actually sent back, and Emily asked the Planning Commission to look at this. I'm not sure what she was actually asking us to do, but you know what?
My suggestion right now is to table that. Right now, the North Carolina Building Code requires a 1-foot free board over the base flood elevation. Building Code Council is looking at taking that out of the building code, which in my opinion is not necessarily a bad thing. However, we are trying to get Curie Beach involved in the community rating system, which is program that's put on by FEMA and North Carolina Emergency Management. And what it does is, if Curie Beach does additional requirements such as public education, free board, different floodplain preventions, we're looking at getting a discount across the board for all residents on flood insurance. The higher the people were, the higher the discount that potential policyholders would be receiving. So right now, the way it's set up right now, if we become part of the CRS system, we're looking at receiving a 5% rate cut across the board for every person that has a floodplain insurance policy. If that 1-foot free board goes away, I'm told that 5% would be decreased to about 2%. I'm not really sure right now. I'm still learning all about it. As soon as we are accepted into that program, I'll have the exact specifications of what we should or shouldn't do, and we can go from there at that point. That would be my suggestion. The only other thing about increasing the free board, and Alan can tell you, is recently we changed the oceanfront roof pitch to 312 to increase the building height so that people are able to get their livable space and meet the free board requirements and have heated space on the bottom floor. If we increase the free board by another foot, probably going to have to be looking at some other changes in our ordinances.
Go up to 36 feet.
Possibly.
Okay. All right.
So right now, and Tom, the builders.
All right. It sounds like we want to have a motion to table this item. So it'll become part of the old business for next agenda, which is the free board. Not the plants, but the free board. So is there a motion to table the free board requirement discussion? Okay. Moved and second. All in favor say aye. Okay. Member items. First of all, we have our new liaison, Craig. And the only other item I have is, which I didn't mention, in my search for articles on the impact of land use regulations on property value, I found another study, very, very good study, again, it's an academic one. It's done by Associate Professor of Agricultural Resource Economics at Oregon State University, William Jagger, and it's titled The Effect of Land Use Regulations on Property Values. What he did is he looked at actually the impact of stricter land use regulations on property value, because there's a lot of kind of knee-jerk, maybe more libertarian arguments that regulations hurt property values and stuff like that. His finding is just the opposite, which is what I've always argued too, that the more land use regulations you have in terms of making things more amenity-oriented, more attractive, you know, these sort of things actually substantially increase property values and the value within a community. So that's, I think, a very strong support for the sort of approaches that we're taking right here. This is called The Effects of Land Use Regulations on Property Values. So, very, very interesting study. All right. And is there any other member items?
We're done. 40 minutes? That's good. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. I did have a question. Is this just informational for us?
Yes, that's informational and it's changing already.
Am I informational?
Okay.
You'll get another one.
That's fine. I just didn't know if we need to take action.
Tom, no.
Okay.
I would like a copy of those papers.
Oh, okay. This is not the whole report. Why not? You might want to have a whole report on this.
You mentioned titles of people's names, and I just, I couldn't get there, so I'll just.
How about, you want me to just, this has all the names and stuff like that, so, and I'll get it back from you, but I'm trying to move back.
That's my stand on.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm gonna add the line.
Okay. Yeah, I need to sign.
Construction cost, so we want the contract price. Tell me what you want to do, I break down my cost.
Right.
Which, I'm not gonna do that, because I wouldn't tell you my contract, so.
I'll just put it in the box.
No, Mary.
I gotta go to Texas.
Yeah.
I'll just say, but I'll be, you know.
No, we're not.
Is that okay?
It's our conference.
You can just let it out.
No, this is a conference.
This seems weird.
So.
These aren't very interesting.
Brand.
About 6 or 7 years ago, these were last night, 10 o'clock.
Find it, that's what you want.
Well, you had a kind of part of the sales commission.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah. That's a cost, just like concrete.
So
this is a building.
Okay.
That's already out of my thing all around.
What would change that?
And you're collecting changes.
Okay, yours is like changing, okay. And Tom's is going to change too. I'll just redo it.
I'm talking about, I'm the chairman of the planning commission from Bigelow City, California. Yes.